X4.
Good. Well, it's nice and comfortable in here, but we're excited to be worshiping the Lord this morning, so I invite you to stand with me. I first want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. My mom's out in the hall.
As we read the word this morning, remind you that there is an outline in the bulletin that will go with the message and the PowerPoint. Any of the series, the book of Acts, this morning, I'd like to speak about life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. You read the words of the verses. All the believers are one in heart. No one claims, but they share great power. To speak the word of God boldly, if we want to be ready to have the words to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His transforming reality in our lives, We must be prepared. We must be ready. We must be filled every day, every morning with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one and done thing. It's a day by day, hour by hour, day sometimes, moment by moment, walk with the Lord Jesus. How many of you know that when you wake up in the morning, you don't always feel filled with the Spirit? You know why that is? Overnight, while we were sleeping, we were listening. It's just a crack pot. Just to tell them that I've said before that we are all crack pots. The Lord is using us crack pots. The Lord is using us now. Granted, some of us are Christ is one of our smallest. died and raised from the dead. Over and over and over, Jesus said to his disciples, I have come. God is the Savior who served to give my life as a ransom. Over and over, he told his disciples, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem. And there, he said, the Gentiles, the Jewish leaders, they're going to betray the Son of Man. They're going to abuse him, and they're going to crucify him. But on the third day, he will rise again. Jesus said this at least four times. Four times. And yet, when we read the days after Jesus' resurrection and his death, the disciples said they did not understand. Now that they've gotten the Holy Spirit has opened their hearts and minds, they understand that this was God's plan. And now they're in agreement. They're in agreement this was God's plan, and we saw some of Peter's preaching, Acts chapter 2. He said, Jesus, exalted to the right hand of God the Father, has now poured out what you see and hear. He poured it out. The Holy Spirit has come because God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, the Lord and Messiah. So they're in agreement. They're one in heart and mind about Jesus Christ, that God the Father sent him. And now, because of his death and his resurrection, he thanks the Holy Spirit to dwell you and me. By the way, how important is it? Think about it. How important do you think it is that the Spirit came? And this morning we're talking about the life of the Spirit working in the body that we want to believe. How important do you think that is? Essential. Because if the Holy Spirit hadn't come, we're pretty much left in the same situation as Israelites had. Where God gave them law and he said, hey, if you love me, obey my commands. Well, this is the And so it's the Spirit of God who takes the law of God and puts it on our hearts and minds. Jeremiah 31. Puts the law in our hearts and writes them upon them. So now, so there are agreements about Christ. You're in agreement about the body of Christ. You're in agreement about all these different people that have come together. Now, I look across this congregation. I see all kinds of different people. Beautiful. Black, white. God has brought us all together, and that's the way the body of Christ is in. I believe it's a reflection of the Lord. They're in agreement. They belong to one another. We are now organically walk together through the Holy Spirit.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
external. Without water, your body is going to dehydrate and ultimately die if you don't drink water. Well, so it is with the Spirit. Without the Spirit to drink, you won't be a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without the Spirit to drink. Oh, but guess what?
Father, by your Spirit,
He is the drink that goes in you. And He is the drink that keeps on giving. He keeps on flowing through
me.
And He is the one that makes us to be one body. See, it doesn't matter that you and I might disagree on what we call non-essential doctrines. Well, you know, I think everybody that comes to church, they ought to wear a suit and tie. Well, God bless you. Wear it if you want. You know what ties were for, by the way? Ties were invented to use them to blow your nose and wipe your mouth. That's what ties originally were invented for. And now they've become a symbol of formal dress. Well, we don't really like to wear formal dress here. We want to be real. Come as you are. What you see is what you get. Okay? And by the way, if you see any wrinkles on my shirt, it's no reflection on Brenda. Being Mother's Day, I didn't ask her to iron my shirt today. I ironed it myself. So there's a lot of wrinkles all over it. So forgive me. And too bad. So we're all given the one Spirit to drink, and therefore we're all one in the body of Christ, and we all have a part. That's the whole message that Paul wants to bring. So the Spirit makes us one in heart and mind. A third under that is He makes us in agreement to the work of Christ in the world. The apostles at this point are testifying to the reality of the resurrection. Isn't that what we just read? It says that they are testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace is powerfully working among them. That's why thousands of people are getting saved. And so the other disciples are like cheerleaders. They're like, yes, go Paul, excuse me, Peter, go John, preach the word. And they're back there praying and supporting those who are out there ministering. So they're one in heart and mind, meaning they're one in agreement with Christ. They're one in agreement with the body of Christ. And they're one in agreement, heart and mind, with the work of Christ that is going on right there. There's one more aspect of it. They're one in agreement with loving one another. They're one in agreement with loving one another. In fact, this is the most important thing, because Jesus said this in John 13. He said, a new command I give to you. You must love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. It's a command. You know what command means? It's not a suggestion. A lot of people treat the Ten Commands like 10 suggestions. You know, well, if I feel like it, you know, if I wake up in time or whatever. Well, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. I know it's a sleepy Mother's Day Sunday morning. Hope Mom's got to sleep in a little bit extra this morning. But Jesus says, by this the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So they're in agreement with the love that they have for the body, the love that they have for one another. And that love is not just a feeling. Remember that old song, was it Kansas? More than a feeling. Boston? Well, that was close. Kansas, Boston. It's early, you know. I failed geography, so. So they're in agreement because the Spirit has made them one in heart and mind. Number two, as we're moving on. Number two, we see here that life in the Spirit flows out this way, that the Spirit empowers them to testify to the reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know I already said that, but what I want us to understand is that it wasn't just the apostles. I know I highlighted the apostles a moment ago, but it's not just the apostles. In fact, in a very short time here, we're going to move into chapter 6, and we're going to see that Stephen, who is not one of the apostles at the time, he has become a disciple, and in a very short time, he has become a powerful witness of the resurrection and the reality and the transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that he's the first martyr. They get so angry with him when he challenges them and accuses them of killing the Lord Jesus Christ. They killed the righteous one, that they pick up stones and they stone him to death. Acts chapter 6. This is your homework this week. Go back this week and read Acts chapter 6 and read about Stephen. Right now we see that the apostles are testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to understand. They could not testify to that reality if the people of God were not living the reality. Do you see it? They couldn't testify. It would be an absolute contradiction if they're preaching the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified and raised from the dead, and now he's poured out his Spirit, and therefore we can be transformed, and yet the body of believers are not living a new life. Nothing's changed. They're still hating each other. They're still not getting along. They don't look at this as though we belong to one another. Do you see how it fits together? It fits together because they were in agreement that they were one together and that they belonged to one another. And, again, may I say it again? Say yes, Pastor. Help me out here a little bit. They loved one another. They loved one another. They were seeing love happen in a very practical way. We're just about to go there. By the way, I just want to emphasize that again. Christians, maybe you don't get anything out of this message except this. How are you doing loving one another? Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? Because let's be honest, it's not always easy to love, is it? You got to love me. And I got to love you. And we're all different, you know? And we've got to love each other with all of our warts and bumps and bruises and all of our background. We've got to love one another. By this, the world will know that we are his disciples. And so, the apostles are testifying to the reality of the resurrection, but we must be ready as these early believers were ready as well. 1 Peter 3:15. I think someone's reading that for us. I hope. No, I'm reading it. Here we go. 1 Peter 3:15. By the way, this is a little bit different than your NIV. This is coming from the New Living Translation. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. If someone asks you about being a believer in Christ, and by the way, they will ask. And if they don't ask, you might want to do a checkup from the neck up. Maybe you're not following the Lord the way you should be following him. Okay? But I remember I was working in the hospital and working alongside this guy. His name was Jimmy. And, you know, we had the wonderful responsibility of cleaning out the food carts where food got spilled, and especially when you brought the trays back from the rooms and they would slam them in there and the food, you know, talking oatmeal and milk and coffee and all kinds of food would just spill over into the carts. And my wonderful responsibility at the end of all that bringing back was to clean out the carts. And guess what? You had to clean them out good because the new food was going in there. So me and Jimmy are down there on our knees. We're cleaning out these carts and this lovely food. And it's all over our gloves. And, You know, I guess I was singing something, some kind of a song, praise to the Lord. And Jimmy looks over at me and goes, what are you singing? I said, oh, man, I'm just singing a praise song to Jesus, man. He's like, what? I said, yeah, man. He goes, well, you one of those Jesus freaks? Well, what's that all about? And I said, I am. I confess, I am. And I said, guess what? I said, I may never be rich, but I have the treasure of the Holy Spirit in my life, and God has changed me. And he gave me a second. I gave him a sermon, you know. And he was like, I thought, you know, more mockery, more persecution was going to come. But you know what he said to me at that moment? He looked at me and goes, huh, really? He said, I'd like to hear more about that. I'd like to hear more about that. And we had to get back to work. We couldn't keep yakking. But you see, people are looking, they're watching, and we have to be ready to explain the hope that is within us. Guess what? It means that you have to be able to explain it, right? Now, it doesn't take a theological education to say, hey, once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was lost in my sin, but now I am found. Jesus found me. And it can be as simple as that. You don't even have to explain all the intricacies of that. You don't have to know about justification and sanctification and glorification. You don't have to know any of that stuff. All you have to say is, you know what? Jesus found me. I was a big, hot mess. And Jesus found me, and He's forgiven me, and He is transforming. He is taking my life and changing me. Amen? We need to be ready to say that. The Spirit of God, listen, the Spirit of God wants you to testify to the reality of the resurrection of Christ. It better be a reality in your life. It better be a reality in my life. And if it's not, at the end of the service, you ought to come up and make an altar of prayer and get it right. Get your life right. Get to that point where you surrender your life to Christ and say, Jesus, I want you to live through me. I want to know the reality of your resurrection. Amen? Get it right today. Today's the day. Number three. This is really miraculous. The Spirit enabled them to share what they owned so that none of them among them were needy. There were none among them that were needy. That's really a miracle. You get people to part with their money, that's a miracle right there. And now they weren't just giving offerings to the apostles in the sense of sometimes how we give an offering. That's our spiritual responsibility, right? Tithing, giving to the Lord, the first fruits. That's our spiritual responsibility. This is going way above and beyond that. They are actually enabling each other to survive. Why? What's the backstory here? Well, guess what? When you become a Christian, especially in that culture, you're blacklisted. The Jewish people around them, all of a sudden, you're one of those heretics. You're one of those Jesus freaks. And they begin to shun you. And they won't patronize your business. All of a sudden, all the orders that you had for your business are canceled. And people don't want your product, your ware, your food, whatever it is that you've been doing. They don't want it anymore. Think of your own business. What would happen if all of a sudden, everything that you were selling stopped? How about you got phone call after phone call after phone call in the morning, tomorrow morning, saying, we no longer want your services. We no longer want your product. In fact, don't ever call me again. You're dead to me. How would you feel? Most of us have a little bit of a cushion. It's called a paycheck. And one paycheck and we're in trouble. And when that one paycheck's gone, there's not much left. This is the situation that they found themselves in. Believers were being shunned by the Jewish fans. Because you've got to remember, they're primarily Jewish people. The Gentiles had not yet come into the kingdom here. They're primarily Jewish people. Now, there were some converts to Judaism, but, you know, that's pretty much the same thing. And people in the body, believers in the body, are loving so much, being led of the Spirit so much, that they're selling their belongings and they're giving to anyone who has need. The Spirit enabled them to share what they owned so that there's no needy. Wow. Think about that with us. I believe I can speak on behalf of this church, the leadership, the body. If we have bread, you have bread. If you're a part of this body and you have a need, we're here to meet each other's needs. Amen? We're here to meet each other's needs. Sometimes we're a little reticent to share when we might have a need. We have to get over that. We have to get past that pride issue because sometimes we all need some help. I've shared with you the time that Brenda and I had moved to North Carolina. I'd started a new job. I was working in construction and I had a big toolbox full of tools and my truck. It was my livelihood. And I went to Lowe's and I parked in a parking lot and I went in to buy some supplies and I came out and someone had stolen all of my tools. Gone. You ever get that sick feeling in your stomach? You get in your car and you realize someone has robbed you. This never happened to me before. Got in the car and I look over and wait a minute, my toolbox was sitting there. It's one of those, you know, big toolboxes. Gone. And I had a power saw down there, a reciprocating saw on the floorboard, a whole bunch of power tools, and they're gone. And I'm like, wait a minute, did I forget to load these up? Did I leave them at the work site? And I'm sitting there, and it's dawning on me that I have been robbed. They're gone. And you know how much power tools are, especially these days. How would you feel? Well, you know, I told my wife when I got home. We didn't have cell phones back then. It's in the dark ages. I think they had the precursor to the, it was a satellite phone. You hooked up to your car. I tried that and blew my truck up once and said, I'm not doing that anymore. Forget it. Oh, we had pagers. Do they even make pagers anymore? They still use those? Okay, old technology is still good. Anyway, I got home and told my wife, I said, honey, you're not going to believe this. All my tools are stolen. It was Wednesday. We had church that night. So I went to church, and I got to be honest, I was feeling really down. And I was like, you know, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. We didn't have money in the bank at that time. We had just moved. We'd used all our money to move. And my pastor noticed. And he said, what's wrong, Tommy? I said, Pastor, here's what happened. And he said, you know what? God will make a way. God's going to supply. Don't worry about it. God will make a way. And you know what he did during the offering? He said, we're going to take a special offering up for Tom because someone stole all his tools. And, of course, I hated that. Felt like a heel, you know. But you know what? That was God's way through the body of supplying my need. And you know what? I needed to get over my pride and my ego. And you need to get over your pride and your ego. So that if you're in need, you have a need, you can share with this body that loves you. We love one another. And actually, we'd be joyful. We'd be glad to help you. We'd be just honored to be able to help one another. Amen? Isn't that the truth? We want to help each other. Because there's probably coming a time when you're going to have to help me. Or any one of us here. Now, if God is nudging you by the finger of the Holy Spirit today, you better listen and you'll better obey. Because he'll do something like he did to me. And let all your tools be stolen. Or whatever. Whatever he'll figure out. Here's a scripture that goes along with it. James chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. I believe we have a reader for that one. Thank you, Mark.
Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?
There it is, very practical, right? If we are aware of a need in the body and we say, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. That's our famous Christian statement, isn't it? Oh, I'll pray for you, brother. Don't just do that. First of all, we have in this church deacons who administrate the benevolent fund and we have funds to help meet each other's needs. So speak to one of the deacons. Mr. Bruce, there you are. Bruce, would you please stand? Bruce is one of our deacons. And Dwayne Nelson is, please stand. You need to know who these men are. David Flower is not here this morning. These are our deacons, and they do a great job. John Rich is our security deacon. He is watching over us out in the lobby, keeping things safe. Amen? God bless you, John. If you know about this, go and see them. You don't need to come to me. Go to one of the deacons and say, hey, could you check with such and such person? I think there's a need there. And you know what, folks? When one of these deacons calls you, put away your pride. Don't say, oh, you know, it's okay. It'll all work out. No, it won't. Not unless there's a specific plan. You don't have to get evicted. Okay? We're glad to help. But you have to take advantage of it. Put away your pride. Put it away so that God can minister to you. And guess what? When we do that, and by the way, we try to be very respectful towards one another in this. No one, you know, wants to be known as being needy. I get it. I understand. But we have to get past that. But he asked that question. If we just say, oh, be well, God bless you, I'll pray for you, what good is that? The Lord wants practical Christianity. The Lord wants practical love working out even to the point where we are sharing our possessions, even selling our possessions. I know some folks here in this church who have responded to a call, responded to a need, when there's been single moms whose cars have broken down, or single moms who didn't have a car and needed a car, and they've joined with me to find them a vehicle, or to help them fix a vehicle, or to help them with their situation. We've called them Minutemen in the past, where in a minute's notice, they will step up to help. And this is over and above what we always give to the Lord. It's way over and above it. But look at this example here. And he puts a practicality on it. He puts flesh onto the bones. Joseph, who we will come to know as Barnabas, Son of Encouragement. That's the name they give him. Isn't that an awesome name? Wouldn't you like to be called that? Son of Encouragement. He sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. That's amazing. That's marvelous. That's God. He is moved by the Spirit so much so that he sells what he owns. And he brings that money and he says, there are needy people among us. Take this, use it as you see fit. Wow. Is that not miraculous? Apply that to our day here. Would you be willing, if there was a need in this congregation, to sell something of great value to you and say, you know what? I don't really need this. But there's people whose homes are being threatened. There's people whose jobs are being threatened. There's people who are in dire need. And they need it more. Would that not display the love of Christ in a powerful way? Would that not be a miraculous, marvelous demonstration of grace? Now, I know that there's some church growth experts that say, well, Pastor, this would be the time to take a benevolence offering right now after this message. Well, guess what? We're not doing that. I'm not here to manipulate and take advantage of your emotions. We're not doing that. We're going to keep our benevolence offering just like we do. First Sunday of the month, we had it last week. We're not doing that. If you want to be led of the Spirit that way, then so be it. You follow what God would tell you. Last scripture, and we'll close here. This comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If someone has enough money to live well, stop right there. That's again, that's the NLT, the New Living Translation. Most of us have money to live well. We're most of us have our needs met, and we can live pretty well in this culture we're in. Someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion. How can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let us not merely say we love one another. Let us show the truth by our actions. 1 John 3:17 through 18. That's what God wants for us. This is what He wants for His body. He wants the life of the Spirit to be shown in such a way that people look at us and they say, "Wow. Wow. These people are serious. They are serious Christians. If you give them a moment, they'll tell you about Jesus. And if you go and you talk to them about a need, they'll do what they can to meet that need. And oh, how they love one another." That's what we long for, amen? That's what we want. Let's stand and pray together and let's ask God to work this in us. Let's ask Him to do this work of His Spirit in us. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the challenge, Lord, before us. And Lord, we confess that there's many places that we fall short and that we want to be people in this body, followers of Yours that proclaim the Lord Jesus, that, Lord, that are one in heart and mind and loving one another and agreeing together in the essentials of the faith. And then, Lord, that we are practically meeting each other's needs, loving one another so much so that there's no needy among us. And that spills out to the community all around us, Lord. Thank You. We praise Your name. We ask that You would do this in our hearts. Right now, as we're in a prayer, attitude of prayer, you won't want to do this if you don't know the Lord Jesus. If He hasn't come in and forgiven you of your sins and changed your heart and your mind and begun that transformation, this won't make any sense to you. This is not just an emotional message. This is a message that the Spirit can only do through a surrendered and broken heart. If that's you, if you know that you need to give your life to Jesus, I want to challenge you and invite you to do that today. If that's you, and you know and you want to receive Jesus, would you raise your hand? All across this congregation, would you raise your hand? You know you need to invite Jesus into your heart. Surrender your life. Maybe you need to do it in a fresh way, a new way today. Is that you? Amen. Father, You not only see our hands, but You see our hearts. So we thank You, Father, that You love us and that You are going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine. Today, I bless Your people for giving attention to Your Word. Thank You for the time to worship You. And Lord, may we move forward fellowshipping with one another and displaying these things in our lives. The work of the Spirit. We give You all glory and honor and praise. And all the people of God said, God bless you all. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Take time to greet each other. First time, folks, I'll meet you in the lobby. If you want prayer, come on up. Amen. God bless you.